Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning. The teams have been selected for the college basketball tournament. That means it's time for you to sign up and play the official Game Bracket Challenge. Brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. And the Bluffs at Rocky Ridge. You can enjoy the biggest and best views in the Nashville area from your dream acreage home site. Call now at 866-GET-LAND. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge or the Game Nashville app now to pick your teams for a chance to win tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, April 15th. 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are efforting Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, so scheduled to be joined by him. Looking forward to that conversation with Charles. A very busy week in NFL free agency. The Titans have made several moves addressing the offensive line, addressing linebacker, addressing pass rush, and they have transformed some of what their team looks like so far. What do you make of – let's zero in on the Arden Key signing, because we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I do wonder, the underlying numbers for him look pretty good. He had 4.5 sacks last year. That's not going to get everybody overly excited about the production that's there. But he's 26 years old. He's coming off a season where you saw firsthand, if you were Vrabel and the Titans, what he was able to do. He played really well against the Titans this last time out. There's the Rand Carthon connection there. The Titans pass rush as a whole, like if their defense is going to be what we think it can be, and that is – a very good defense in this league, you're going to need a pass rush that is very formidable. And Bud Dupree is going to be gone. You've got Harold Landry coming off an ACL injury. I mean, best case scenario, Joe, is Landry is back by camp. He's completely healthy. And by the time the season rolls around, he looks like Harold Landry before the injury. Now, having said that, based on what we've seen from some of these guys coming off ACL injuries, be that Bud Dupree a couple of years ago, be that Robert Woods, although it's a completely different position. I understand all that, and age is different. Like, sometimes it takes guys a while to get back up to full strength, even if they're quote-unquote healthy coming off the ACL. So I do wonder from, like, the Harold Landry standpoint, I think there's some people that just think he's going to go back out there and be exactly what he was before the injury, and I hope that he is. But based on what I've seen over the course of the past couple of years, sometimes that's way easier said than done.
Right. I mean, and even with the addition of Key and maybe a draft pick, I'm not down on the idea of Nolan Smith. The health of Harold Landry is a critical part of this team, and yeah, we just kind of assume, oh yeah, Harold Landry, pre-injury Harold Landry, it'll be fine. So. The key addition, it's a key addition.
Wow.
Thank you. But what are the realistic expectations? I mean, in my mind, it's like if he can play, I mean, he has been a situational pass rusher, basically, you know, and he's bounced around a lot, which is interesting. I mean, when you see a guy who's like a year here, year there, you wonder a little bit, like, why is that? I know. With the Raiders, there was like this huge penalty he had where he kind of like lost it. And that was a big, I think it kept him out of the playoffs. Isn't that right? I think that's right. And like they cut him. And I don't know if that's why they cut him, but, the journeyman and the Titans lock him in here. And of course, again, Rand Carthon had the 1 year with him. But like you said, the last 2 years, the numbers on him are good, top 20 in the league. Or top 15 in the league, right in there, right in that range. In terms of pressure rate, and look, sacks are ideal. Get the sacks. 4.5 sacks is nothing special, but affect the quarterback. He affects the quarterback. And, of course, he also enjoys when Dennis Daly tries to block him. But can he be – Bud Dupree, can he be what you hoped you had in Bud Dupree at a way smaller price with a much healthier history and a younger player? I mean, if so, and Landry is back to pre-Landry, and Autry is still going to stay at the same level that he's been at the first years of the Titans, and Simmons has got the long-term deal and he's happy and the ankle's all healed. It's a lot of ifs, but man, that could be – the best pass rush in the NFL.
Well, it could be. And, you know, Bud Dupree, look, say what you will about him. Obviously, it was a bad contract, and it was a bad signing by the Titans. I mean, the way it's worked out is a bad signing. He missed too many games for him to be, you know, obviously overly effective. Now, when he was out there, I thought he was effective. Now, having said that, he had 7 sacks in 2 years as a Tennessee Titan in the regular season. So, like, if Arden Key comes in and he can give you 6.5, 7.5, 8 sacks, somewhere in that neighborhood, but more importantly, like you said, affect the quarterback and can be available for 17 games, which, by the way, he's been available for 17 games in each of the past 2 seasons. Like, that to me is valuable. Like, having a guy that you feel good about being out there on a game-by-game basis, obviously it's the NFL, it's football. Injuries can happen a moment's notice. Just ask Harold Landry. He was about as durable as it gets and healthy as it gets, and then all of a sudden the ACL goes. So things like that happen in the NFL. I understand that. But, like, Arden Key's younger, he's cheaper, and if he's available, I mean, I feel pretty good about his production being right there with what Bud Dupree's has been, maybe even a little bit better based on his availability, if nothing else.
Exactly. And now you take some pressure off Rashad Weaver. Rashad Weaver still, I mean, he's a good piece.
Agreed.
You know, and it's not like he isn't allowed to get better. So, I mean, he had a great start to the season last year, and obviously he made some mistakes, you know, and I think in particular the Charger and Chiefs losses, you know, some kind of, I think, obvious, you know, mistakes in terms of what he was supposed to do out there. But, yeah, he's fine. You got to have that depth, you know. Ola Dainey provided that some. If they could find a way to draft an edge, you know, another, and that they feel good about somewhat prominently in the draft, I still think that would be a good idea too. Look, with Landry, we don't know. He's got the big contract. He's a huge part of this team and a huge storyline, but you don't know how much longer with him. You know, guys get paid, get hurt. You just don't know where things are going to go. So you always have to be thinking about the next guy.
Jake in Greenbrier on the text line says, after week 14 last season, Key was second in the league in pressures behind Nick Bosa, Dennis Daly tax, but still, that sample size is 1/4 of the season. It's a great pickup. This from Jake from Greenbrier on the text line. I mean, he had only played against Dennis Daly, I think, once by week 14 last year. So just keep that in mind. Then the rest of the Dennis Daly tax came later in the final week of the year.
Dennis Daly getting guys paid all over this league.
Are Titans fans ever going to forget Dennis Daly and the contributions that he's made to this team?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, Dennis Daly is like, and I swear, I think this is one of, like, bad offensive linemen in the NFL. Like, I still think of Sean Bowens, the worst offensive guard I've ever seen in the NFL, who played for the Lions in like 1992. You know, like, I think a bad, like, offensive lineman who just get absolutely torched in this league, like, fan bases remember their names.
Oh, I remember Will Svitek tried to go up against J.J. Watt one time, and J.J. Watt had about 3,000 sacks in one game against the Titans. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, think, man, those Titans O-lines in, like, 14 and 15, oh, man. My goodness.
I think J.J. Watt got in the Hall of Fame that day, single-handedly. That one day put him in the Hall of Fame. It was unreal. LD from McMinnville on the text line says, Landry should have nearly a year removed from his knee injury. Hopefully that helps. I mean, timing-wise, it is a little different. Like, I remember, you know, Bud Dupree came in, and he had gotten hurt in December of the previous year, right? And
exactly.
Harold Landry was in August.
December, but yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that's different, and that means that he'll be ready to go from the jump. All I'm saying is, like, look, I think he'll probably be in training camp and will be participating. How long will it take him to be back up to 100% full speed, no restrictions, Harold Landry? That's really what I want to know.
Yeah, and Bud Dupree, Taylor Lewan, recent great examples. I guess not Robert Woods. I don't think – I mean, I have to think there was some effect on him, but, he wasn't even wearing anything on the knee last year.
Yep.
But Bud Dupree, Taylor Lewan are good examples of – make sure, you know, make sure. Because both of them later were like, yeah, I rushed it too much. And then, you know what? There's a good example. I mean, I know people, there's a lot of talk at Titans Twitter about, like, guys go somewhere else and they're healthy and the training staff and all that stuff. Trainer of the year, by the way. I will say, like, that I think is a fair criticism. And it's not like you can but it's like everybody, the coaching, training staff, you know, making sure these guys are not pushing it too far. Cause that, I mean, Bud Dupree in particular, well, shoot, Luan too. I mean, both of them. I mean, they both later were like, yeah, that was totally a mistake. It's like, well, someone's got to like not let guys make that mistake. But Landry, like LD said, the timing should be good for him to participate. I'm sure they'll try to take it careful with him in camp.
We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook as his favorite day of the year begins today.
Oh, my goodness, folks. Yes, I don't know if you've heard, but it's that time of year. It is March, and it is a great time to be on FanDuel Sportsbook, and you can take your first shot at college hoops with FanDuel. Get 10 times your first bet amount bonus bets. That is up to $200. So $20 on a bracket, you can land $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. That's $200 you can spend betting on games straight up, money line, point spreads. You can do a lot of different things. Everybody loves the 5-12. You always look for those. I'm going to keep saying it, 4-13 guy today, okay, or this first round with Kent State, Indiana State. In fact, I have Kent State my Sweet 16. So if I'm right, I want you to come back and tip the cap to Sincere Carey and me. Now, you're doing this all in an app that's safe, secure, super easy to use. No better place to bet the tournament than FanDuel. Sign up today by going to FanDuel.com/Joe102 and make every moment more with FanDuel all tournament long. You must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. First online remaining wager only $10 deposit required. Free fund issued. It's not withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. It's been a very busy week in the National Football League. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Charles, good morning. How are we doing?
It was always my intention to be on today with Robbie and Rexroad.
Let the record show.
Sorry. Yes. Let the record reflect. They just needed some things to be worked out. It's been an interesting 24 hours. I'm doing well, guys. How you doing?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So a lot to get to today, obviously, Charles. Let's start on the Aaron Rodgers front. He gets on the McAfee show yesterday and says that it's his intention to play for the New York Jets, waiting on the Jets and Packers to finalize the trade. Expressed, I guess, some displeasure with the Packers in terms of just the messaging that they gave him as the season was going on and as the season ended. And then as he emerged from the darkness, apparently that messaging changing. What did you make of Rodgers, what he had to say on McAfee yesterday, and his intention to play football for the New York Jets?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the way that he's pitching this, is that he went into the darkness retreat when he came out. It's almost like he feels like the Packers took advantage of him going off the grid to suddenly start shopping him. I don't know. I mean, it's whatever. It's his story. That's the way that he's, you know, looking at it. I think it was obvious down the stretch that there were a number of players that he wanted to remain on the roster. The Packers weren't going to entertain keeping those players in the fold, and that he should have known that. Look, they're going to pay you $60 million and you'll be back, but there does have to be some element of refreshing some positions. And that is going to mean that Randall Cobb won't necessarily be a Packer, that Alan Lazard wouldn't be, that, you know, Mercedes Lewis was going to be a guy. There were just a bunch of guys that he wanted to continue playing with that they weren't going to retain. And if he was going to be out on that kind of a move, then the Packers were going to be out on him. And, you know, that's really what December and January were about. People were already talking about this in the organization. Plus, they were talking about the reality that they were going to kick in Jordan Love's fifth-year option, which means that Aaron Rodgers is probably only coming back for 2023 anyway. I don't know why it took that long for him to catch up to it, but, you know, at this point, it doesn't really matter. He's potentially going to the Jets. He's going to go to the Jets. They'll get the deal done eventually. I think it's good for him. He's going to join a roster that will be Super Bowl worthy the second he walks in. And, you know, the Packers can finally just move on and see what they've got in Jordan Love. But really just I think it's going to be a hard reset in Green Bay once they move away from Aaron and we can all move on. But I look, will he be in New York long term? No, a year. He'll play in 2023, maybe 2024. I think it's sort of the Brady plan when Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay. It's going to be a limited window, and a lot will depend on what that 2023 season looks like. The trade compensation, the Packers would like to get a first-round pick out of this. Depends who you talk to. There are some general managers that are really aggressive and are like, you know, the Jets shouldn't give up anything more than a third unless Green Bay starts to eat salary. You know, others are like, he's probably worth a second-round pick and the Jets will absorb all the salary. That, I think that's some of what's going on behind the scenes right now. It's definitely not a two first-round pick situation. Whoever thought that up inside the Packers organization's out of their mind.
So it sounds like once this all happens, you think that Rodgers and the Jets are a legit contender next year in the AFC?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I really do. I think, look, they're going to re-sign Quinnen Williams, obviously, or they're going to give him an extension. There's work to be done there. There's no doubt about that. Breece Hall, you have to see, you know, when he can finally get back on the field, how he responds to, you know, the injury, obviously season-ending knee injury last year. They have to sort out the offensive line, especially the offensive tackle position. I don't know what they're going to do with Mekhi Becton, but, you know, there's definitely still work to do there. But defensively, they're loaded. They have a ton of young guys that I think are going to take a step forward. I think Rodgers will instantly help to upgrade that offensive line because he wants to call protections at the line of scrimmage. He's going to take some weight off of the guys up front just through experience. I actually think the Jets will probably end up – they added, obviously, Alan Lazard. I think Mercedes Lewis is someone that – he's a really good blocker at the tight end position. I think he could really help the Jets. I wouldn't be surprised if they add him. And then Randall Cobb's basically, other than David Bakhtiari, is Aaron Rodgers' best friend. And so I wouldn't doubt if, you know, Randall Cobb also ends up in that wide receiver room. And I think that can help, you know, some of those young guys. Cobb's not going to eat a lot of catches in that offense, but he can help from an experience standpoint. I will tell you this, the Jets definitely believe it makes them into Super Bowl contenders. I don't know if they'll say it publicly, but I think they felt like they were really close to being in their window last year if they would have just gotten adequate quarterback play and some consistency. They didn't. Now they're looking at this going, we shouldn't just get adequate quarterback play. We should get, you know, at least a top 10 quarterback, and that makes us championship worthy.
Charles, what did you make of Carolina moving up to number one overall?
It makes sense. When Matt Rhule was fired last year, David Tepper called a meeting with a few people in the building, basically decision makers, and said, This is the priority. You fix the quarterback position and don't, no half measures. Fix it for good. I want a 10-year quarterback. I want a franchise guy. And that's what the number one priority is heading into the 2023 season. If you want to remain, obviously Matt Rhule is gone, you're going to get this done. So they've really been focused on this from, you know, we're talking about going all the way back to October. I don't think now being at the number one spot, their work is done. I think, you know, I see that C.J. Stroud became the betting favorite. I think they like Stroud. I think they like Bryce Young, but I think they want to look at all these quarterbacks. End of the month is going to be a big deal. Through the end of this month is going to be a big deal. There's going to be a lot of personal visits. All those, you know, the big quarterbacks throw at their pro days through the end of the month. And you know, puts Carolina in a good position that I think they at least know they like two of these guys between Stroud and Young, but I don't know that they necessarily have the pick locked in just yet. The crazy thing though, out of all this, we entered into this process and Jalen Carter we're like, oh, he's, you know, the best player in this draft, the talent, everything was there. That I don't now know, when I look at that top 10, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Jalen Carter anymore because of, obviously, he had to leave the combine. He was allegedly involved in this, car wreck that ended up killing one of his teammates and a Georgia staffer injured another teammate, another Georgia staffer. He's been accused of road racing with that car. now he had his pro day yesterday, and I was just stunned that he couldn't finish his positional drills. He was 9 pounds heavier, didn't run the 40, still hasn't spoken to any reporters since all this came out at the combine. And this is just the kind of thing that I was surprised when I saw a mock draft that had him already sliding, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, out of the top 10. And I'm like, there's just no way. He's far and away the best player in the draft. Now I'm starting to, you know, yeah, you could see Jalen Carter slide on draft day. If this is sort of the momentum and where this is going into the draft, he's got some significant problems now to work out with teams.
Well, okay, but to me, I agree, like, the 9 pound gain thing is a little bit concerning, right? But I still, like, unless there's something we don't know about, it's an awful situation, but it's, they were stupidly drag racing and it turned tragic. You know what I mean? I just don't see how that.
Yeah, I get it. He made a mistake. Like, if this is true, right? And again, it's allegations. He made a mistake.
Right.
You know, he left the scene. If this is what it's being alleged, that he left the scene. Okay, so the question is going to be from teams like, there were people hurt. Why would you leave the scene if you had teammates in peril? You know, why? What was the decision? You know, and you got to go through all that. And I get it's not like he wanted the car to crash. It's not like, so it's, you know, people have to absorb it for what it was. If this is what happened, something stupid. Someone who probably panicked might have to explain why he panicked, and there might be reasons for that. But now it's you had that initial thing come out at the combine, and then it's sort of like, all right, the pro day is going to be a big deal because, you know, we got to see kind of where he is mentally, what's going on with him. He gains the weight, and then he doesn't complete positional drills. And he doesn't, you know, which, again, he didn't do any drill work at the combine. He just did measurements. And then he doesn't run the 40 again, and he doesn't. I mean, it's just, it's now, if you're a team, you're sitting there going, okay, this was the big deal. It's a big deal, and we understand that he's going through it right now. But it's also sort of a test of, like, how is he going to react to adversity? And this is the ultimate kind of adversity. And what does this tell us about him? And if anything, I think it creates a scenario where teams are now going to dig deeper than ever. Joe, you and I went to Michigan State, and the Seattle Seahawks dug pretty deep on Malik McDowell, and it took a lot for them to convince themselves to draft him in the second round, and they were wrong on every count. And, you know, they ultimately paid the price for that, and then the Cleveland Browns were like, okay, we'll give him a second shot. Now, I think there's a mental health aspect to what happened with Malik McDowell, but again, the Browns were a team that dug deep on him. And again, it went backwards on him. It went, you know, and they paid the price for that. So I would just say that with Jalen Carter, if there's something else there beyond this, not that this isn't bad enough, teams are really going to find it now, because there's no way he's getting drafted without an extremely detailed deep dive on everything that's gone on with him since the second he walked onto the Georgia campus, if not before.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. 615-737-1025. Take your thoughts on our text line as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We've got more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Joe, Rex Road, the floor is yours. Back on here with Charles Robinson.
Yeah, Charles, I just wanted to get your thoughts, of course, locally here on some of the Titans' moves. First of all, I guess collectively, when you see they go get Dillard, you know, a talent who lost out his job with the Eagles, they go get Brunskill, Al-Shaair, obviously the 49ers connections, guys who were kind of part-time starters in times, but, you know, they were on very deep, very good rosters in both cases. And then also Arden Key. From Jacksonville, a guy who's bounced around a lot, but certainly has a lot of ability. And you look at that, what does that tell you about what Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel are thinking, and what do you think of those signings?
Well, Philadelphia, Jacksonville, San Francisco, you're talking about, I mean, these are quality organizations last season, even Jacksonville, you know, I think. And Arden Key has been kind of through the best and worst in Jacksonville. During his time there, I thought they're all fairly conservative signings from the standpoint of like salary. When you look at the contracts these guys are getting, they're all short term. There's no huge, massive, you know, meteor strike that you're taking on here, which makes sense because of the kind of quality that was in this free agency class. It's not a mega class. You were probably going to go hunting for solid starters in this free agency, and I think that's really what they got in those guys. You know, Dillard is, I swear, he's an offensive tackle that every time I would go through Philly every summer, I'm like, okay, so does he turn the corner? Does he turn the corner? And they always loved his skill set and his tools, but he was always getting beaten out by the time the season would kick off. And got opportunities there because of health issues on the line, but just could never lock in a starting position. Well, he's going to have that opportunity now in Tennessee. He's going to, he should be a starter. Again, it's a very skilled pass blocking tackle. That's what he was drafted to be with the Eagles. But I think at times they thought, is he, too finesse? Is there, are there toughness issues at times? I remember I was there when he got in a fight in a practice in the summer. We'll see. It's a fresh start for a guy that I think has starting ability, no question. And on a modest contract that if, he entrenches himself as a starter, you're ahead of the game with a, sub $10 million a year starting offensive tackle. And if he doesn't work out, he's got the experience in terms of what he went through in Philly that he can be a very good quality backup. That's obviously not the plan here, but you have to play it out. What are all the potential eventualities with him? And I think Keith's the same deal. He's going to be a very solid rotational starter for you on that defensive line. You're not committing a ton of money to him. He's experienced. And look, the ages of these guys too. I mean, you're talking about Dillard, who's 27. You're talking about Arden Key, who's he's gonna be 27 when the season starts. I think it's a very smart, conservative signing in the kind of free agency where you don't want to go out and blow out anybody that you're signing from this class, even the top end of the class. There's some warts there. Javon Hargrave is as good as he is. And there's no question about that. As great as he could be for San Francisco, it's still you're just mortgaging a ton of money for a defensive tackle that you have to have the pieces around him to make him great. So I think for Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, they went for players that are generally, still young and need opportunity to start and, don't cost a ton of money. So, and you also have a defensive tackle that you're going to sign to a gajillion dollars. Now that we saw the Daron Payne deal come in, there's work to do elsewhere. So very, very conservative, but I think the right thing to do in this kind of a free agency.
Charles, what do you think about what the Raiders have done here with Garoppolo coming in at quarterback? They trade Darren Waller to the Giants the next day.
Yeah.
What do you make of those two moves specifically and what that means for Josh McDaniels and his path forward here?
Well, I'll tell you, but the Waller thing was weird because when I went through camp with them, they had just signed the guy to an extension or they were on the verge of signing him to a contract extension. And, to get out from under that extension after only 1 year and without much of a cap hit, which makes me wonder how they even maneuvered that extension. I don't know why, Darren Waller didn't sign the kind of extension that was harder to get out from under. But it's definitely a hard left turn after only one season. So either they saw something in Waller where they thought, okay, his best seasons were in 2019, 2020. There's been injuries since. Maybe he's a player that we now think is on the decline. So if we're going to deal him, we got to deal him now because he's not going to have the value next year to get anything back. That's the only way in my mind I can figure out that move. Maybe Darren Waller's not. He had two fantastic, unbelievable years in 2019, 2020 as a tight end, and we're in search of that guy, and maybe he's not that player anymore. He's on his way out of that window. But Garoppolo, it's a one-year deal. I mean, it's as simple as that. They can get out of the deal after 1 year. It's a bridge quarterback deal. And I don't think it takes them out of the quarterback market in this draft. I think now they can sit there, and if they like let's say all four of the quarterbacks and one slides to them at that pick, I think they're at seven. That's, you know, there's definitely upside for them to have that flexibility of being able to still take a quarterback. And if Garoppolo plays great, let's say he pulls a Geno Smith, right? And he just blows it out, stays healthy, which is a huge component of it, in 2023, then the deal is modest enough that, okay, you can ride with Garoppolo for a while and be happy in that situation. So even if you draft a rookie quarterback, it gives you the ability, basically, if Garoppolo plays well, to go, okay, we can ride this out with him in 2024 if we have to, if we think it's Anthony Richardson needs 2 years of development rather than one. It's a fairly conservative signing, but all these quarterback deals, for the most part, Geno Smith, Jimmy G, when you look at Daniel Jones, none of the deals were nearly what we thought they were when we first saw the numbers. It's crazy that we still report the initial numbers nowadays.
If Tua, and that's a huge if Tua's fine, I really like what the Dolphins have done personally on their defense. And with Fangio, I mean, that looks pretty salty. Is that a contender?
Yeah, I mean, I think particularly defensively, you know, people are going to point at all the player, you know, the player upgrades, especially if you throw in all the player upgrades since last year in the summer. But you mentioned Fangio, and to me, that's almost what I think people underrate how good Vic Fangio really is as a defensive coordinator. Like, he's, you know, clearly he's not a head coach, but you know, as a defensive coordinator, completely different animal. And he takes away, it's like Mike McDaniel, he doesn't have to worry at all about the defense. It's like, okay, you got it. I'll work on game management. I'll work on the offense. And we've got the kind of experienced guy running the controls on defense that I no longer have to, you know, think twice about it. So, yeah, it's like what you said, Tua. It's like a big if. We have no clue whether or not he can stay healthy. And, you know, I know he's considered, okay, he's out of the protocol and he's back up and running again now. But we're all going to be holding our breath. Every time he gets hit, I think now it's like, all right, we have to hold our breath. And here's my question to you. What happens with his, I hate to go through this, but we have to. What happens with his next concussion? Say he gets another concussion. Where do you stand on that? Like, because it almost feels like now he can't get one more concussion, because you're just like, it's been so, it already feels so dangerous at this stage that if it happens again, you know, what's the scenario? Like, how do you get through that? What if it doesn't happen next year, but it happens in 2 years? People probably feel better about it if it's further down the line, but say it's not. Say it does happen in 2023. How do you even handle it at this point? What would you do, Joe? I mean, if he suffers another concussion next season, how do you not go, do we have to shut him down again completely in 2023?
Exactly. I mean, that's why I thought maybe there was a chance that it'd be done, you know, now, as yeah. well as he played. Yeah.
Well, he's taken judo classes apparently to learn how to fall properly, so hopefully that helps.
It's weird too, because, you know, you really do hear that conversation about, like, you figuring out how to fall in a way where your head doesn't bounce off the turf. And that was a problem when they reviewed everything last year with multiple concussions. So many of them were caused by not even the initial hit. It was then the head, you know, bouncing off of the ground. And I don't even know how that's possible. I guess it's something you can try to work on, but in those moments where things happen so fast, you go back and you look at it and you're like, how does a player at this point, how could he have manipulated a fall after taking a hit and keep their head off the ground? I don't know. To me, it's almost like fix the helmet. Like, is there a way? They've already, you know, done so much with the helmet, leaps and bounds, but is there a way to somehow augment the helmet yet again to try and reinforce it in the back and help with those, I guess, sort of what they call, like, secondary you know, blows after the initial hit?
Yeah, it's a great question. Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road from Yahoo Sports, joins us every Thursday morning here on the program. Charles, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys. Sorry about being a little bit late today.
No, you're all good. Charles Robinson with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick the Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess the goal score for the Preds tonight, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click. Think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. And by Superbook Sports, voted number one sports book in Vegas. Download their app today. It's Pick to Click, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the Chicago Blackhawks. The standings update in Preds Pick to Click. Robbie Stanley back on the board the other night, increasing the lead. Got 15 overall. The Listers in second place with 12. Joe with 11. Michelle with seven correct answers. With that in mind, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Brian, today's participant. Brian, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
Got to go with Tommy Novak.
The hot hand, Tommy Novak, the selection. Brian, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. So Novak is off the board. Michelle Knezvik is up first today. David James, you are in for Michelle. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Give me Igor, so that way whenever he scores, I can say Igor, more like he scores.
Ooh, I like that. Igor Afanasyev. I like it. Maybe first ever NHL goal tonight coming up for Igor Afanasyev.
Let's hope.
Hey, look, I like the youth movement. So far, Novak and Afanasyev off the board. I am up next in the competition, and this is difficult, but I'm going to go Philip Tomasino. I will go Philip Tomasino in the competition. So Novak, Afanasyev, Tomasino off the board. Joe Rexroad, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I like how Michelle texted us that, you know, she wanted Novak picked. Hey,
oh, I haven't even seen Novak that.
Okay. Then she said Tyson Berry, but what, you got Igor, Michelle. Sorry. It's funny how Novak is like the auto. I mean, Novak is just like the auto listener pick now. It's like last year was like either Duchesne or Forsberg. It's Novak.
Yeah. Why not?
Which, by the way, I'll just go Duchesne.
Going mad Duchesne. So Duchesne, sure. The selection from Joe Rexroad. You sound a little dejected, Joe. Not much hope in the competition? What's going on?
No, it's fine. I mean, I always pick last, but okay. I mean, you know, it's fine. Okay. I'm fine with it. Okay. I got a shot.
There's Preds Pick to Click, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Joe, you're live in Orlando, Florida. The Vols in action tonight, late tonight, as they take on Louisiana. How excited are you for this day, and specifically this game coming up tonight for Tennessee?
Well, I'm very excited for the day, excited for all four games today. One thing that, you know, earlier I was crying about the weird, awkward standing there. I also went poured a pop slowly into my cup. But there's nothing like being at these things. And you know, one thing I always tell, especially like young journalists, like, you may be covering a team that plays at night and there's two sessions in a day. Do not miss 1 second of the basketball at your site, because you may miss an incredible sports moment, and then you'll regret that you didn't see it in person when you could have had a front row seat. So I'm pumped for all the games. And yes, even Virginia basketball, even Virginia Furman, which starts the day off today. I'm excited for that. But yeah, the Vols game, sure wish it wasn't at 9:40 Eastern. Oh, tomorrow's show is going to be a real treat for all the listeners.
I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah. It should be quite a doozy, but it's fascinating game. You know, Jordan Brown, I didn't realize this till yesterday in the press conferences, but he almost came to Tennessee when he left Arizona. He went to Louisiana. If that sounds weird for people, like, okay, so he's going to go to Tennessee, Texas, or Louisiana? Well, his dad is one of the great all-time players in Louisiana history, actually played against Tennessee in the NCAA tournament in the 80s. They are, I believe, the two most productive big, most productive father-son combo, I believe. Certainly in that program, but I mean, they're right up there among all time in college basketball. But you're talking about a 6'11", terrific score around the basket. McDonald's All-American, was a Pac-12 Sixth Man of the Year. And he, you know, that's the type of guy who can be very dangerous. So I'm interested tonight. I wrote about Olivier Kamwa today and his cat, Barry. Barry the cat. Mm. Hardcore journalism. But is he the ideal guy to guard Jordan Brown? I think, talking to people yesterday, I feel like they may look at Jonas Adu because of his length as what they hope can work. But I think Adu, Kamwa, those two will probably be trading off. And then it's like, how much are you doubling? Are you digging? Are you going straight up? Are you zoning? Because Rick Barnes has been working on the zone. He worked on the zone in the SEC tournament. So just how they handle Jordan Brown is be fascinating to me. If you don't let him go off, and also you don't let him, create a bunch of wide open threes that can beat you, then I think you should be fine and advance into the next round.
I'm interested to see how it goes. Things getting tipped off here in about 2 hours and 15 minutes or so. So looking forward to that as the day begins in the NCAA tournament. I'm here to tell you, Charleston is taking down San Diego State. Take it to the bank. That's happening today.
Okay.
So make sure that we revisit that tomorrow on the program. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe, have a wonderful time at the tournament today. We're looking forward to hearing about it tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.